The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, another episode of Believe You Me is with you. But look at this guy. This is not Harrington. This is not Brian. This is the one, the only, the triple C, the bantamweight champ, the flyweight champ, the Olympic gold medalist, the king of cringe, Henry Cejudo. Step aside, Bruce Buffer. What's going on, Henry?
Yeah, that was good, Michael. That was good, busy. Jesus, man. Step aside, Bruce Buffer.
Step aside, Bruce. I'm coming for you, bro. How you doing, Henry, man? Thanks for joining us today.
You know what? Life is good, man. Life is good, Michael. As you know, I got my little baby who's about to turn one. And then obviously I'm making my comeback. I'm officially eligible to compete again. And, you know, it's just a bunch of people are playing duck, duck, goose. Michael Bisping, you know, it's like duck, duck, goose, pretty much.
So what is the definition of duck, duck, goose? I'm not familiar with this. It's like side, side, step. I don't know. What is it? What the fuck is duck, duck, goose?
That's right, man. You English, you guys have different games. But duck, duck, goose is a thing that you go around, like, you know, when you're in school, like particularly like first grade or kindergarten, where you literally go around a circle. And you're able to like tap somebody's head, and then that person's supposed to chase you around and try to get you. But the person that picks the person that he wants to hit always picks the slower person, so he's able to freaking go back to the circle where he's sitting at, so he's able to actually win.
So in this situation, Aljamain Sterling is either a duck or a goose, and which one are you?
Oh, well, he's the duck. I'm the goose.
You know, he's going after that little quacky.
Yeah. Oh, he's ducking, man. That's what he's good at. So that's where I'm at. Not just him, but even Sean O'Malley. You know, because after I saw Aljamain Stalin trying to, stall out the fight completely, I said, hey, I came up with the conclusion. Like, hey, why don't we do an interim bout with the Third Island boy, Sean O'Smelly? And he doesn't want the smoke either. You know, he wants Cheeto. Man. These guys, they don't want to do. They don't want nothing. They don't want none of the rust. They don't want none of these hands. So I don't know what to tell you, Michael.
Well, we do have a lot to talk about, so much. And I want to get your thoughts on the big fight card this weekend as well. But, you know, the bantamweight division right now is stacked. There's a lot of eyeballs on it. There's a lot of stars. Obviously, since you stepped away over a very impressive win over Dominic Cruz, the division, you know, there's O'Malley's a massive star now. Cheeto Vera's doing big things, of course. Aljamain Sterling's the champ. So are you still going through your 6 months USADA testing process? Is that correct?
No. I'm officially, as of last month, I'm completely done with my 6 months. Like, I'm eligible to legitimately compete. And yeah, Michael, like, it is a tough division. But I just don't see any of those guys competing with me at any level, including the champ Aljamain. And this is the same reason why he wants to wait out until June, like a bunch of excuses. Cheeto Vera, easy fight. Sean O'Malley, easy fight. You know, it's the bantamweight division. It is tough. It is the most stacked division, I believe, in the UFC. But I kill them all, Michael.
Well, that's what you got to think. And to be honest, you do have a good chance. I mean, styles make fights, and with the wrestling that you have, and not just the wrestling. I know you're a very, very mentally strong person. We did that podcast. It's called My Fight, which is available on Audible, by the way. Cheeky little plug there. But me and Henry sit down for an hour. We have tons of other great fighters on there as well. We sit down for over an hour and we talk about your background and the adversity that you had to go through to get where you are today. obviously you want to be a part of the biggest fight possible. So who are you talking about? Who is the UFC targeting, things like that?
They want Aljamain. They want me to pretty much take him out. I'm the hitman. You know, they're sending me in. You know, this the bantamweight division has got to move. You know what I mean? And if Aljamain wants to take his 9 months to start his rap career and sip on that Hennessy, then that's on him. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to create fights to get the best fights out here, so the best of the best can actually fight. So that being said, you know, the UFC, they do want a champion that can continue to keep fighting. You know, I go back and I talk about Mike when I was a champion in two divisions. In 10 months, I fought Demetrius Johnson, TJ Dillashaw, and Marlon Moraes. In 10 months, Bisping. You know, I had a surgery, so I couldn't almost compete for about a year. But, you know, and as soon as I came out of surgery, my therapy was done. Within a few months, I was fighting again. So I'm a competitor. I'm a fighter. This is what the UFC wants. I think there's a lot of great matchups that they could do, you know, once I won that belt. You know, we got Jan, we got Sean. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, like, my goal, Bisping, is to actually go up and solidify another belt.
Well, I'm glad you're back, Henry, because you do bring a lot to the table. You're a phenomenal fighter. I don't need to say that. I don't need to sit here and kiss your ass. I was surprised, though, after you beat Dominic, when you did retire, what was the choice and what was the reason for that?
Honestly, it's what it was. You know, it was a retirement. When you've done everything, Michael, especially once I made out with millions of dollars after that last fight due to the pay-per-view points and what I got paid, I was just like, hey, I'm riding off to the sunset. You know, got into real estate, bought a bunch of properties. I'm in the Airbnb business now. I just finished up a whole duplex, which is worth tons of money. I'm starting up another one in the next month.
These are all down in Arizona. That's my accommodation sorted. If I'm ever coming down to Arizona, I've got a free Airbnb. Fucking, that's very kind of you, Henry.
Oh, why not, Busy? Why not, man? You got it. They're in the hood, but
you'll have
a place to stay at.
They'll be like, this bloody guy talks funny. What's he doing around there? No, sorry, I interrupted you. So you were saying...
It was like when you've literally accomplished and you've exceeded everything that you wanted to do, you know, like my number one goal was to be the best father, you know, in the world. And then my number two goal was to be Olympic champion and then UFC champion. I've been able to accomplish all that. And it's been the best thing that has ever happened to me, Bisby, to really literally like step away, see the sport from outside beginning, just becoming a fan to, you know, just growing, man. I think I've been doing this since I was 11 till now. It was a much needed break. And honestly, I'm coming back. What I see now, Bisby, with all these guys, and I'm going to be quite frank and honest, is I know I'm going to win the championship. I see dollar signs on these people. You know, Aljamain Sterling, I see a Benjamin. I see, you know, Sean O'Malley, I see a Benjamin with all these dudes. Like, I'm motivated to stop people, to kill people. And to get paid for it. That's it. But I'm just a hit, man.
I'm not putting words in your mouth, but do you think, because Aljamain has spoken quite publicly that he's going to take 9 months off and come back probably around next June. He said because the five-round camps are very strenuous and all the rest of it, and he needs to take a little break.
The little princess needs a break, Bisbee. What's your take on that? Healthy? He beat a dude with one shoulder? I mean, come on, dude.
So you're saying that he knows that the UFC are looking to match you guys up, so he's trying to squeeze out and hang on to that belt for as long as possible?
Exactly, 100%. That's exactly what he's doing. He's a dirtbag. He's a clown that wants to take a break. And he wants to celebrate. He wants to, you know, start his rap career, whatever the hell he wants to do. But I'm here to take him on. That's exactly what I'm going to do, Bisbee.
Yeah. Well, that's what you have been doing. I mean, you've always brought a lot of excitement. Let's just assume that Aljamain Sterling, for whatever reason, that fight doesn't transpire. Or do you have authority that will be your first fight that you come back to?
That's the only fight that I'm thinking of. The other one that I want is the Volkanovski fight. If they want to, right now the UFC is protecting Alexander Volkanovski because they know that Islam's about to put an ass whooping on him. You know, so it's not that Islam is stalling or Volkanovski stalling. They're starting to see, and I've said it before, this dude is too big for this guy that has this one style that's going to overwhelm Volkanovski and completely take him out. The pound-for-pound king right now is about to get served up. So this is why, you know, the other idea that would be for me, and I'll be ready for February too. If they want to, if Aljit Shitstain is going to take those 9 months, then give me Alexander the Average. You know, why don't you give him to me, Bisbee? You know what I mean? Like, I'm the guy that could sell a fight. I could be a tune-up fight for him before he gets up to a bigger wrestler. He can defend my wrestling. He can get up for me. Then maybe he could get up from Islam. But I just think that's just a great fight for both of us. You know, we're about the same height. I think my experience, my IQ, obviously he's pound for pound. I personally think, Bisbee, that I could take him out. I really do.
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, you've proven that you can do that. You know, you've, for anyone to deny you or underestimate you, that would be foolish. What are you weighing right now?
Right now, I'm down at 155.
155. Yeah, well, 145 is not crazy. And no, how do you feel at 55? Are you?
I feel good.
I wouldn't take my shirt off right now. Let's put it that way. Would you take your shirt off? I'm not going to ask you to. You know what I mean? Would you bounce around Vegas at a pool in summer like you're looking good? Or would you,
oh, yeah.
Would you keep a little tank top on to keep the fat covered?
Yeah. Yeah. No. A couple of months ago, I probably wouldn't. But now, Oh, hell yeah, man. If anybody has a broken washer, dude, I wash them thongs on these freaking, on these abdomen here, baby.
There we go. Obviously, for you to walk in and fight Volkanovski, that's going to upset a lot of people at 145. There's already Arnold Allen out there calling for an interim title.
Yes, but when you have a dominant champion that's been dominant for so long and he's been putting away people, what's the number six or seventh guy going to do to somebody like Alexander Volkanovski? I know somebody, the Olympic champ, youngest in history, to win Olympic gold medal in 2008. The double champ in the UFC beat Demetrius Johnson with the highest winning streak in UFC history. It's a perfect matchup, man. But I just don't think I just think if I have to win my belt back to eventually go after that and win that third belt, then that's what I have to do, Bisbee.
Yeah.
But let me ask you, what's your take? What's your take on me and Volkanovski? Would you rather put Arnold, who nobody knows, who's number seventh or sixth?
But you know that is the problem for Arnold, isn't it? Arnold's a phenomenal fighter. He's a great guy, works his ass off, but he's not very vocal on the microphone. And sadly, in this day and age, there is the entertainment aspect to it. You know what I mean? I think you should fight Aljamain Sterling. That should be the comeback fight. And if and when you beat, if you beat Aljamain, I've got to be respectful, you know what I mean? If you beat Aljamain, then you have an ability. Or maybe you defend it against Sean, and then you're an established bantamweight champ, and then you get to fight him because he's going to fight Islam. He can't then come back to 145. I'm just looking at it from the UFC's perspective. If they were to allow their 45 champ to go up and then come down and fight a guy that had been retired for 2 years, it's kind of unfair to the division.
Oh, not really, man. Welcome to the UFC, dude. You know, if Conor McGregor can go out there and beat some champ and then get a title shot, come on.
All right.
You know, if he has the ability, you know what I'm saying? Like, Michael, there's through my accolades, I believe I deserve that respect too. You know, not just in MMA, but in combat sports. And I think with that being said, man, I skipped the fucking line and I feel good about it.
No, your resume is up there with the best of the best. And that's not even a debate. That's just factual. It is. And I always say that, Henry. I'm going to throw some names at you. Give me a quick fire response as to what would happen. What would you do? What do you think of them? Chito Vera.
Punish him. Has difficulty with the guys with lateral movements. I'd beat him up. Easy money.
Sugar Sean O'Malley.
Easy money. Princess, the Third Island boy. He absolutely sucks. I'd stop him within 3 rounds.
Obviously, Aljamain Sterling.
Aljamain Shitstain Sterling, you know, a.k.a. Flavor Flav. He wouldn't make it past 3 rounds either. Defend his takedowns. You know, beat him up with my hands and feet to eventually knock him out with the freaking head kick.
And then, I mean, I'm not going to say Volkanovski. That's so obvious. Islam Makhachev, swerve ball. Islam Makhachev, what would happen? He's the 155 champion. Yeah, talking about fighting Volkanovski. Come on. Give it to the Dagestanis. There's a rivalry brewing right now between American wrestling and the Dagestani wrestling. Chandler came out this week and talked a bit of shit. Bo Nichols jumping on that bandwagon as well and saying, we need to show these Dagestanis that the Americans can wrestle better.
No, 100%. But yeah, but and that's what we'll take it, because 155 pounds. First, I got to win the 45 to eventually go up and maybe even challenge any of these other guys. So I don't want people to also think that I'm a wishful thinker either.
No, you know? I know.
That he's in his own category. But yeah, but that being said, American wrestling is better than Dagestani wrestling when it comes to the sport of mixed martial arts, is because American style wrestling, it's the folk style wrestling, is where, when we're able to control. If you were to put Khabib with an NCAA champ or an NCAA wrestler and you just have him work top bottom, with them not knowing any of MMA, Khabib wouldn't get up. He wouldn't. A lot of these guys wouldn't get up. They just happen to keep going up against guys that don't have that Division I kind of status. You know, the other one that I could think of was Justin Gaethje, but Justin Gaethje hasn't wrestled in probably a decade.
I know.
And he even said it. He's like, dude, once I was done wrestling, that's one thing that I never wanted to do ever again, was to wrestle, because it was hell. These are the words that came out of his mouth, because the sport is so fucking hard. The dude said, dude, I just did not want to go back. And I promised mom that I will never wrestle again.
That's why I have so much respect for wrestlers. And it sounds, because obviously I hated people when they were trying to wrestle me. But seeing my son, now he's on a wrestling scholarship in San Francisco, the experience that I have wrestling as well, like all my main injuries came from wrestling. It really is the toughest element of all mixed martial arts. So yeah. All right then. So time frame, when do you think, or when are you eyeballing to be back in there?
It all depends with the UFC. I'm ready. I could be ready in Australia for February. I could be ready, or March.
Have they reached out to Aljamain about this?
Yeah, of course they've had. Of course they want that excitement, dude. It's TJ. If I can understand if maybe he went through war with TJ, but it was pretty much a buy. You know what I mean? And that's not Aljamain's fault. But no. You could also be like, hey, maybe I'll take a month, party it up. You know, next month I get back on my diet and then I make a decision after 2 months. Mm-hmm. I think that would be fair, which would put us in March.
Yeah.
But this dude's literally, man, he's trying to start his damn rap career. I mean, he's talking about.
Is he really? I haven't heard about that one. I know about the whiskey or the rum, what he's trying to do.
He's trying to do a rap career as well. He's trying to do that, drinking up all the Hennessy, dude. This dude has gone wild, Michael. This dude don't want to fight the Triple C, dude.
Well, you keep talking enough shit, I think you're gonna make it happen. real quick before we move on to some other stuff, TJ Dillashaw. Obviously, when you guys fought, he tested positive, right? Was that the EPO, that one? Yeah.
Against
you?
Yes. That was against me. And people don't know this. It was like, oh, it was the weight that he did a PO. He got hurt because of the weight. Like, no, dude. He weighed in bigger and higher he weighed in at 147 pounds when he made weight at flyweight. I mean, this dude gained, what is it? Yeah.
22 pounds.
Yeah, 22 pounds at the wins. When he fought at bantamweight, he went in at 143 pounds, I believe, which was only 8 pounds after he made 135 pounds. When he did flyweight, he was up to 147. These are all public records, too, if you guys want to look at it. So the dude was 100%. I was just on a mission. I tapped that chin, hit him to the body, and I was relentless. I was like a dog on a bone. I knew I was going to finish him.
What do you think of TJ? Where he's at now? Do you think, you know, obviously the shoulder kept popping out against Aljamain. What did you make of
that
fight, but the whole circumstances surrounding it?
He doesn't know how to train, Bisping. He doesn't know how to train. If you've had that many surgeries, and you're still training like an idiot, then that's what happens. You know what I mean? You gotta be able to modify everything that you do so you can feel good. And, he doesn't know what he's doing, Michael.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. But by the way, it's a very professional setup you've got there, Henry. What are you trying to do? Are you challenging me for the YouTube, YouTube channel out of all the UFC fighters? God damn you.
I got to steal your followers. I got to steal your followers and Uncle Chels. But you guys remember to follow Triple C at my YouTube channel at Henry Cejudo.
Henry Cejudo, give him a follow, does some great content. All right, this weekend, Madison Square Garden, massive fight, Pereira, Adesanya. What do you think and who wins in your opinion?
The experience side of things, I gotta go with Israel just based on experience.
Yeah.
And it is a sport of mixed martial arts. But if it does go to the striking side, which I think is going to go, I think Israel's going to just fucking play his damn little distance game. And he's going to jab and kick.
Yep.
But I do believe if Pereira plays it right, because I've watched all his fights, and I watched the first and their second fight with Pereira. Yeah, and I saw the second I saw that it was always a second punch that catches Israel, because Israel has a bad tendency of leaning back. So if he can smoke that first punch, lunging with the second, because it's the same way he caught him that second fight and put him out. And if you watch the Calvin fight too, it's the second punches that catches Israel. His hands are down. He leans back. He has a horrible habit. He also leaves his legs down. Like, for me, if I was to fight Israel, man, it'd be easy money, because I see all these opportunities that these middleweight guys are just not seeing. So that being said, if it comes down to just pure striking, which I think the fight's going to be, unless Israel's going to put on another boring performance, I'm going to have to go Alexander Pereira.
I think, to be honest, I mean, when you look at Izzy against Whitaker, that he'd already knocked out once against Jared Cannonier, who he was clearly ahead. You know, his reflexes, his speed, his shot selection, his technique in general on the feet was way better. But even still in that, he kind of played a defensive style. And Whitaker came out this week and said, Izzy is a defensive style fighter. I think because of, you know, his tendency to play that kind of game, and now going up against somebody that knocked him out last time and beat him twice. So regardless of how small that pattern is, there is a pattern there that when they fight, Pereira wins. I'm actually picking Izzy. I think he'll win, but I think it's going to be one of those fights where people are getting frustrated, but Izzy's going to put the focus on, hey, I don't give a fuck about pleasing the fans. I'm here to win and walk out of that octagon with my title. And I think if he has the right strategy, implements a lot of movement, and just frustrates Pereira and slows the pace down, then I think he might get the job done.
Yeah, yeah. But if you watch those two fights, Bisping, then you'll get a different perspective.
No, I haven't watched him. I watched them both.
To be fair, the aggressor
fucking rocked him in that second one as well. Izzy was beating him in that third fight.
All rounds. It was probably 4-0. The second fight. But that being said, I also, you know, there's still that kryptonite. There's still that 0-2 blemish on there. And if Pereira does come out swinging and he hits him with that second punch, he's going to knock him out. He's going to beat him.
All right, let's talk about, I believe, Zhang Weili's training down at Fight Ready, correct?
She was. No, for this camp, she did it up at the UFC PI.
Right. And how's she looking? I mean, obviously she went with you this time, but in terms of defending takedowns, because that's what this fight's going to come down to, right? Can Carla take her down? Because if she can't take her down and control her, I see a very, very tough night at the office for her. With respect to Carla.
Yeah, but that's the only thing Carla has to do is stick to that wrestling. You know, close the distance, make it ugly, take her down. Stall the fight. I mean, it's going to be boring as hell, but that's the only way that she'll win. But that being said, I don't see that with Weili, because Weili's an animal. She's an animal off a bottom too, developing of throwing elbows on. If she does get taken down, I think it's an easy fight for Weili, and I got Weili by stoppage. I don't think it goes past three rounds.
Same. I agree. And it always sounds like I'm underestimating Carla and like kind of being dismissive to her abilities. She's great. There's a reason why she's the champ. She beat Rose fair and square. But I just think Zhang Weili is something special. I really do.
Yeah.
All right. Last one before we ask some fun questions and Harrington comes on. Don't be scared of Harrington. He doesn't dress very well. He probably stinks. You'll be able to smell it through the computer. But he'll have some fun questions for you. So get them ready, Harrington. The people's main event, Chandler. Dustin Poirier, talk to me, brother.
I'm gonna have to go with Dustin Poirier. I think Michael Chandler. I think he's gonna wrestle, but is he gonna really wrestle? If he was to wrestle, I think it's an easy fight for Chandler, because if you saw what Khabib did to Poirier, and you saw what even Charles Oliveira, when they get on top and how they control, like, there's a deficiency there for Poirier. I just don't see Michael Chandler doing that. Wrestling is such a hard base that when you wrestle, you do get tired, your opponent gets tired, but do you have that threshold? If he just did all of wrestling this whole fight camp, then I would take Chandler, but I just can't. I think Chandler's got a nice little mouthpiece. He's very well spoken, but to me, it's all fluff. So for that reason, I'm at the go Dustin Poirier.
Yeah, I mean, Chandler's brought nothing but excitement, and he's been such a great signing by the UFC. And as you say, great on the microphone, looks well, very presentable, fights his ass off. Those fights with Gaethje, even with Charles, all, you know, knocked out Hooker and Ferguson. Fucking amazing fighter. But yeah, if he doesn't wrestle or if he can't wrestle, I think Dustin takes it. I think Dustin might stop him late in round three or get a decision. Still, anyway,
not just that, but even think about it too, Bisping. He could just kick Michael Chandler. Michael Chandler's stance is so wide. Michael Chandler has been stopped with calf kicks and people have gotten away from that.
Yeah,
Brett Primus, Gaethje hit him too, where he was able to switch stands and things like that.
He's very heavy on that lead leg.
He's very, very heavy, and nobody's really modified that. And that takes away a lot of your wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, this is like I study position because it's all based on positions. You rewind success backwards. That's how I kind of pinpoint like my training and how I dissect fighters. And if he's able to dissect that and shorten, bring his stance back to a little more narrow, then I believe he's going to wrestle. But my stance is to tell me everything about what he's going to end up doing.
All right. Well, for more stuff like that, check out Henry's YouTube channel because I do see your breakdowns and they are very technical.
Yeah, yeah. Five feedback is crazy, yeah. Michael. I'm able to break down these fights.
It's good shit, man.
You know?
All right. Listen, you have a one-year-old daughter, Miss America, right? How has that changed your life?
Oh, it's changed my life, dude. It's cool, man. You have something to look forward to every day, you know, rather than just eat, sleep, and shit or train. You know,
all they do. They're the ones that eat, sleep, and shit.
Right? Oh my god. No, but it's Bisping, dude, it's precious, man. It's nice to it's just nice to see another, you know, your procreation, dude, and you know, making, you know, just righting the wrongs with the right, you know, raising your kid different the way you were raised.
Of course. Let me ask you, were you a hands-on dad? Were you the type of guy to change diapers?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Yeah, I do. I hop on my wife quite a bit, man. Even with cleaning, dude, like with everything. Cause all that shit is like, all that stuff is hard, man. You put yourself in their shoes for a minute. You're like,
no, it is.
Now she's stuck with the kid for 24 hours. I get a chance to do this interview with Michael Bisping. I got to, you know what I'm saying? Go to practice here in a little bit. And, you know,
no, I know. Because that's what I always say, because my wife, you know, she was a stay-at-home mom, raised three children. And I always say, listen, you made so many sacrifices. You put your life on hold, stayed at home to raise the children. You allowed me to go off and chase my dreams. And if it wasn't for her, then, you know, then I wouldn't have achieved jack shit. So, yeah, well done. Very nice of you to hear that. So, all right, Harrington, come on, show yourself on here. Oh, reasonably presentable today, so that's nice.
Reveal yourself.
I'm doing okay.
Sometimes he's almost naked. Harrington, so you put a tweet out on Twitter. Well, where else would you put it? What have we got for Henry Cejudo? Be respectable, please.
Always, always. I would never disrespect the king of cringe. Hurry Martin wants to know, what bantamweight do you want to punch in the face the most? Not about titles, not about pay-per-view points or money. Just which one do you want to hit in the face the most?
Probably America's sweetheart, Sean O'Smelly, you know, the third island boy. Why not, dude? He's been, you know, he's still a little princess.
He's doing big things though, isn't he? You got to give him that. Listen, I'm sure you, what did you think about the fight with him and Jan?
He lost the fight. He did bring the fight. He did hurt Jan, but he lost the fight, but he did it right. I mean, he went from 13, chose the number one seed who just has striking and was able to get some big shots. But I thought Sean lost, you know what I'm saying? But he did a good job of skipping the line.
Yeah.
Because this next fight, you know, he's going to be the next guy in line to eventually fight with me. So that's how I plan it. And that's how I'm a businessman. I'm trying to make money off the kid.
Yeah, well, of course, I guess in your world, sorry, Harrington, one second. I guess in your world, the perfect scenario would be come in, reclaim the title, and then fight O'Malley, right?
So why not, man? Get all these YouTubers, get all these, you know, these Dungeon and Dragon guys. And, you know, they
Dungeon
can all
and douchebags. Well, there's the name of the episode for today. Harrington.
Yeah, you're describing nerds like me, so thanks. If you weren't in combat sports, what would be an alternate sport you would be in, or alternatively, a job that has nothing to do with sports at all?
Man, I think I'd be a lawyer, man. If I had the patience and all that, I could see myself doing that. And if it was a sport that I would like to do other than combat sports, even though I don't know how to play it, it would probably be tennis. I think tennis would be a sport that really intrigues me with the lateral movement. I think I'd be pretty good at it.
Were you a studious guy at school? Were you a good student? Did you get good grades and stuff? Or were you more obsessed with wrestling? And
No. I wasn't, dude. I would just barely pass my class, dude. You know, I was the type of guy that I spoke perfect Spanish. I get a C in Spanish.
Hey, I'm the same with English, brother. I'm pretty sure I failed English, but it's a little different. Harrington. Like, what the fuck is he what did he just say to me? He used to subtitle me on The Ultimate Fighter. Go ahead, Harrington.
Okay, during your retirement, were you ever contacted by another organization to put together a super fight trilogy with Demetrius Johnson?
That's a good question. I think the answer is yes, but he's trying to get the response.
Yeah, but it wasn't from like the higher people up there, but it was an idea from them. But not just them, but other organizations. Like there's people that were literally trying to buy my contract out because I think they see, you know, for millions of dollars. And I think the UFC, you know, they invested too much in me where they didn't want to lose their champ. So yeah, there is opportunities, not just that one, but a lot of the bigger organizations too.
Okay. And well, to follow up here, somebody does want to know, you trained with him recently. How do you see a third fight going down if you were to fight Demetrius again?
That's see, Harrington. You must have seen the content online. Demetrius and Cejudo, they're very, very respectful. They're good friends these days. You see them podcasting together, training together. Why are you trying to stir the pot like that? That's the thing of the past, right? Henry, is that question's unacceptable?
I'll knock his ass out.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
But let me say something about Demetrius Johnson, man. Demetrius Johnson is a student of the game, man. Like there's a reason why he is extremely, extremely successful. You know, he showed me that other side of style that you can win at. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, cause sometimes when you think you have everything right, everything sound, then you see another person do it completely different, but there's a commitment level to it that makes it special. Then that's what it is. You know what I'm saying? So Demetrius Johnson, He defines the odds according to like his ability of training. How is it that he actually does it? I'm surprised, you know, because he trains hard. And with me, it's like I understand more of purpose. Like everything I do has a purpose. There's science behind it. There's recovery. There's every little movement to me has something to do with what is it that's going to come next. Yeah. You know, so it was awesome, man. Awesome. He's actually going to be out here in a couple of weeks. So it's going to be cool to train with them once again.
Yeah, no, it's really cool to see you guys. Obviously, you fought twice, two of the best ever. And yeah, no, it's really cool seeing you interact like that. I did enjoy it. Right, Harrington, last one. Make it a good one. Make it lighthearted. Make it extrapolate something from Henry that the world doesn't know. Make it a question that knocks up our subscriber base by at least 2,000 subscribers. No pressure. Go ahead.
Well, we were speaking about different career paths just a moment ago. CK Tattoo wants to know, now that the Count and Conor McGregor have completely opened the way for fighters to become actors, would you, Henry Cejudo, consider landing a lead role in a Snow White spinoff as Grumpy?
Whoa, what a fucking, how dare you?
Wow.
What's more lighthearted than Snow White?
Show me the money. I'll play Beetlejuice if you guys want.
Hey, what do you think about this fucking Hasbulla?
Oh man, I wanna grab his cheeks and I wanna like is it gay for me to say I want to kiss him?
No, kiss him, lick his face, make out with him, do whatever you want to do. How old is he? I mean, is he old enough for that, or would that be?
No, he's like 20, I think.
Is he really?
I just want to kiss his big cheeks, man.
There's the headline tomorrow morning on whatever shitty news website. Henry Cejudo wants to kiss Hasbulla, but not in a gay way, just purely out of respect.
I want to kiss a grown man.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Hey, me and you both. All right, well, listen, Henry, I know you got training to get to. I really, really appreciate you jumping on last minute. Give the man a follow on his YouTube channel, and we can't wait for the comeback, buddy.
Yeah, of course. No, thank you. Thank you, Michael Bisping. It's always a pleasure. It's always an honor, man, to be able to, you know, come out here and chat with you. I think, you know, legends take care of legends. It means a 100%. Lot to me. You guys make sure to follow my YouTube channel at Henry Cejudo, where I'm delivering the best content right now, even above Michael Bisping. Wink, wink.
Second best.
So you guys make sure to give me a follow. Triple C is out.
Take it easy, brother. You're the man. Thank you, Henry. All right, guys, let's just take a second to hear from Chalk. Chalk is an all-natural testosterone supplement that I truly recommend, okay? The supplement industry is filled with terrible, you know, dirty supplements. The guys at Chalk are proud to stand above the rest in clean, pure, and healthy products. Chalk uses full disclosure labeling. They tell the exact amount of each ingredient and never use proprietary blends. No label fluffing or underdosing, and all ingredients are measured to exact clinical research. Chalk Daily is the cleanest research-based testosterone booster available. Along with Chalk Daily, make sure to check out their Male Vitality Stack and the Stack Ultra. Okay, look, listen, a lot of times you'll see guys, they're working out great, you know, but they're not getting the gains that they want. Maybe you're not stronger, as strong as you'd like to be. You're not putting on the muscle that you'd like. You haven't got the libido. It's not the same. Sometimes you don't have the energy. As men get older, testosterone levels drop. Simple as that. Men's testosterone levels right now are at an all-time low. So if any of those symptoms that I just mentioned apply to you, then you're going to check out Chalk. As the holiday season approaches, give the gift of better health to yourself and to others. Check out chalk.com. That's chok.com. And while you're there, be sure to use the promo code Bisping at checkout for 35% off your entire order. That is chalk.com. Promo code Bisping, massive discount, 35% off. Natural testosterone supplements. Better yourself this winter with Chalk. All right, there he is, the king of cringe. I tell you, he's a very, very smart guy. He knows what he's doing with all this cringe stuff. He's trying to stand out, but in the cage, he's phenomenal. Smart mind, smart man. Congrats on the birth of your first child. She's almost 1 year old, so it's been a while now. You know, make sure you carry on changing those diapers. You know, I changed Callum's first ever nappy, as we call it in England, you know, because he was one in and hospital. Done? Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, it was. It's like, well, I've got things to do. Rebecca's a stay-at-home mom because, Rebecca, come here. You know, because Callum came, he was 9 weeks premature. So he came out, he was tiny. We said, Rebecca! We said, what do you think he's going to weigh? And they were like, maybe 1 pound or 2 pound tops. And he came out, he was 4 pounds 8, so he far exceeded everything. And I changed his first ever diaper. It was in like an incubation thing, weren't it, babe? Look, oh my God, if you can see the eye rolling, get over here. You're wasting time. If you can see the eye rolling that just took place, here, put that in. We're just talking about changing nappies.
Hi. So that hurts. Rebecca, Michael's telling me all the responsibility I'm going to have as an expecting father.
Yes. Are you ready for lots of hands-on poopy nappies?
Yeah, but I changed the first ever nappy, right?
Yeah, so? Yeah. Why do you have to tell everyone? So what? About the last one you ever did, too. He was not hands-on. No.
That's a lie.
He was not hands-on.
That's a lie. No. Wouldn't I hold Lucas in my arms every night while you hoovered up, vacuumed, and I would rock him to sleep?
I placed him in your arms after I'd bathed him, and I placed him in your arms whilst I vacuumed.
And I'd have them in one hand, and I'd have the beer in the remote in the other hand, and I'd like flick channels and stuff while you vacuum.
Hands on, is it?
Yeah, literally hands on. And he had.
Yeah. That's about it.
That's about it.
No,
I did lots.
Did you do night feeds?
I didn't do night feeds. What the fuck would I do a night feed for? I'm sorry. Listen, I'm a very accomplished man, I would say.
Did you have to get up at night?
I can't breastfeed. Harrington can breastfeed.
Yeah.
Did you help me get them to sleep at night?
What do you want me to do? Drug them?
Did you feed them?
I fed them. Yes, I did. Did you feed them?
I did feed my kids, yes.
Well, clearly feeding Callum too much. They're a fat bastard these days.
Anyway, so Harrington, are you going to be hands-on? I feel like you are.
Oh, I have no choice. My girlfriend is the talented one in the relationship.
No, so you're going to be the stay-at-home dad.
I mean, God willing. Honestly.
I love that.
Oh my God, don't love, love that. I actually feel sorry for the child. Don't, Harrington.
Stop. He's going to be a great dad. He's going to love and nurture that child.
No, you are going to be a great dad. I don't question
that.
She's going
to be my best friend. It's going to be great.
Oh, shit. Oh, it's a daughter. It's a girl.
Yeah, it's a baby
girl.
Did
you pick a name yet?
We did. We are not saying it on air.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Harrington. And like, you have no respect for the believers, you know?
Give us a clue.
The initials are AJ.
AJ. Mm-hmm. Antoinette Josephine.
Not quite.
What do you mean initials are AJ? Like,
it starts with A and starts with a J, Rebecca.
It's like a double first name kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Anna Joanne.
No.
It's Anna. It's Anna.
You're not. No, it's not. And it's honestly like so out Anicia. There. I don't think anyone's going
to
get it.
Let him speak. Sorry, I'm here now to keep everything all. Anyway, is traditional or modern?
Very modern.
Oh, God. God, yeah, it's one of those stupid names.
Stop. It's don't say that.
Exactly, Brian summed it up perfectly.
Well, there's some really nice modern names.
Yeah.
Callum's quite a modern name.
Yeah.
You want me to go now, don't you?
I think it's time we got on with the rest of the show.
Right.
I wanted you to come in and talk shit about diapers and
I'm
shit.
I'm going to talk shit on you. Really? That's what I do.
Callum was like a little sparrow, a little dead bird, and like the little piece of poo. It was just like a tiny little.
Oh, my God. Callum was not like a dead bird.
He was like a little tiny dead bird. Like, I used to
carry him. 4.5-pound sparrow? That's crazy.
Yeah.
He had muscles. This is what we say. He's the only premature baby in the world that had muscles.
In the world. Yeah, no, but I did. I used to carry him in one hand. I remember I was walking around. We were getting new carpets, weren't we?
Mm-hmm.
And I was walking around the store just like in my hand. And the woman was like in the store. She's like, what are you carrying? What seems to be a premature baby in your hands? I'm like, yeah, no problem. I've got it. And I've got a sandwich in my other hand or something. I'm like, how much per square meter is that carpet over there? And she was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm like, yeah, don't worry. I got this. Look. Catch it in this one.
Start juggling Callum.
It's not true. Even exaggerating.
I'm like, don't worry, I got this shit all day long. Granted, I had two hands back then, two eyes back then.
Yes. Anyway, bye.
I'd love another coffee.
You're not having one.
No, she won't let me have one. Anyway, shout out to Hudo once again there. Harrington, give us a non-MMA story. Obviously, lots of storylines to talk about. But yeah, what have you got for me?
So Dave Chappelle is hosting SNL for the first time since his last Netflix special came out. Obviously, there was like a lot of backlash with that. Insiders are telling Page Six of the New York Post, which is like New York City's gossip column, that writers for the show are refusing to come in. Now, none of the staff is boycotting the show this weekend, but some of the staff writers are refusing to work on it.
So I'm assuming this is all like a backlash related to his last couple of specials, which were apparently the reports were that he was hating on the trans community, right? Right. And I watched them. I watched them, and I'm friends with some trans people, so I want to choose my words carefully. But I don't think he was hating. Yeah, there were some jokes. There was jokes. There was jokes about people murdering people and stuff like that, and that's what they choose to get offended at. And at the end, he was talking about one of his friends that was a trans person and ended up committing suicide, right? Because I think, if I'm getting this correctly, I haven't seen it for a while. She was very public about her friendship with Dave Chappelle, and she got a ton of shit, a lot of hate email and tweets and all that stuff, and she ended up killing herself. Do you know what I mean? Is that right?
That's 100% right.
Yeah. Well, these staff writers, they better hope they keep the fucking nose clean, because they are in that kind of culture, and they are actively trying to cancel somebody. Do you know what I mean? You think they would know better.
So is it that, or is it a thing where it's like, I don't want my name in the credits for this because I'm afraid of getting canceled down the line? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But I mean, that's a problem with SNL. It's overly fucking woke these days, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? I don't even find it funny. I don't. Am I alone here in not finding Saturday Night Live funny? There is the occasional, I mean, I don't watch it very often, but when I have stumbled upon it, I like there's some classic old school ones, like what is it, that More Cowbell. That is, that's a classic, and I'm sure there's been lots of other ones. And when I've seen it, I watch it, and there's a few things that are humorous, but there's a lot that I just find absolutely stupid and not funny in the slightest. Brian, what's your opinione?
There's a lot of agenda on SNL these days that it, yeah, like they take points over funny a lot of times, and I haven't watched it in years. The last time I watched it, I didn't laugh not once, and I was just like, all right, I guess I'm done doing this.
Yeah, well, exactly. And then that's my problem, not only with Saturday Night Live, with a lot of TV, a lot of films and all the rest of it. There's always an agenda. There's always a message. How about we just have some nice, good old-fashioned entertainment that's not trying to drive a purpose or a moral or some values down our fucking throat. You know what I mean? I just want to watch something that's great, watch a piece of art, watch some show that's clearly had millions and millions of dollars spent on it without feeling like I'm getting a message shoved down my fucking throat. Fucking take it, have it, enjoy it, regurgitate it. It's like, fuck off, leave me alone. Anyway, political, Harrington, that's not silly. That's not funny. That's not necessarily non-MMA. It's clearly non-MMA. What's going on with these sharks jumping into boats real quick?
So yeah, this was a video that was going everywhere on Twitter over the weekend. So apparently there was just some guys who were out fishing. Seemed like it was like a standard, you know, fishing cruise. And they got an extra guest.
What the fuck?
Full on shark jumping onto a boat.
All right, that's, you know what, I thought it was going to be something else because I saw a video the other day of like a gigantic shark coming out and trying to eat the boat, and it had a lot of the boat inside it. I don't know if it was a whale shark or a great white, but there was like a small little boat and the fucking shark like that. But that actually jumped upon the, what do you call it?
The starboard?
The deck. Are you, do you know your nautical terms?
So if I'm not mistaken, port is on your left and I don't remember. I know it's something like, I had a nomenclature thing where it's like you pour, like, because port wine, you like pour it this way. So that's why I think port is on the left, but that's really the only one I know.
No one cares. Well, Brian's watching a YouTube video on it right now, you little shit. And that was
the shark video is still playing.
Oh, yeah, but of course.
He had the directions right. The front and back are called the bow and stern. But the directions are right. Port is to the left, starboard.
Well, that was a weirdly bit of interjection from Brian there. Like, he was talking, but then there was no sound. There was sound, and there was no enthusiasm from you either.
Really?
Normally, you come in and you nail it. Normally, you're like, hey, guys, boom, zinger, gone, out.
My bad. Well,
step your game up.
You're yelling at me about the YouTube video. I don't know. I felt very defensive.
Yeah. Oh, he's off again before even finishing his sentence. Brian's having a bad day.
He's flustered.
Oh, my God. And now Harrington's getting all excited. He rips the jacket off. He's exposing the shoulders. He's like, oh, yeah, let's get Brian.
I wasn't going to go sleeves out for the Cejudo interview, but come on, man.
Don't. We are doing a live BYM next year, so suggestions for venues, dates. We're going to do a little tour of the UK, and we'll do some in America as well. But anyway, right, let's get into some world of mixed martial arts stories. Bro, we got to talk about this one. You've got it at number one in there. Finally, thank God, Cain Velasquez. We should have started the show with this. This is unbelievably good news. I'm so happy for him. Cain Velasquez obviously was posted, was granted bail on the conditional charge of $1 million. He was released, I believe it was Tuesday night. He's back in the arms of his loved ones, his children, his wife, right before Christmas. 8 months locked up. Granted, there's a lot of circumstances going into this. But they had a different judge. They had a different judge from the judge that was always denying bail. And this judge said, I forget the exact quote, but it was, he said, I do believe there was a certain level of emotional, if you can pull it up and find it, because the quote was great. And I hope that this judge, I mean, it's going to go to trial. There'll be a jury. But this judge sounds like kind of gets it from Cain Velasquez's perspective at the very least. Because I've read the story, and I don't even really want to repeat it too many times, but apparently the the guy was going into the toilet with his child. It happened over 100 times. They'd seen other children going into the bathroom with the guy. You know, you can't blame Kane. We talked about this at length, so we don't need to rehash all the gruesome details. But I'm just so fucking happy for Kane Velasquez. I really am.
So I have the quote here. Judge told him, "I have to believe that you will not jeopardize anything that would take you away from your son and daughter. Don't prove me wrong."
Yeah, exactly. But there was something else that he said as well. But he won't prove him wrong. And then Kane responded, "Yeah, I won't, Your Honor." Kane, from what I understand, this is his first ever offense. He's not a... The problem is I think that when some people look, and Kane Velasquez looks like a mean, tough son of a bitch. You know, like Breaking Bad. You ever watch Breaking Bad?
Mm-hmm.
You know those two Mexican brothers that are there for the cartel, and they always show up in like these suits and the real long winkle pinker shoes. They wear like the long shoes that curl up at the end. You must know who I'm talking about.
Yeah,
the
two brothers. I'm trying to remember their name. I couldn't remember their name off the top of my head. The Salamanca brothers.
There we go.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He looks something like them, and they're cold-blooded killers. Like even I sometimes. I feel like I have people prejudice against me. I've got cauliflower ears. I've got a few scars. You know, I just look hard as fuck generally. You know, so if I get a little annoyed, people are on a higher sense of alert. And I think when, yeah, them two, there they are.
Yeah, there's Kane.
Yeah, you know, there he is. They're out of the sun their best.
Yeah.
You know, Kane, go back to that one of Kane, Brian. You know, because Kane's a big dude. He's a heavyweight. And when a judge that isn't looking at it clearly through an open perspective, they're going to see him and see him going after someone and shooting and think this guy's a menace to society. What, he was a UFC fighter? That's his profession. That's what he chose. He parlayed his wrestling career into a successful fight career and one of the best heavyweights ever. Outside of that, the man was a model citizen, never getting in trouble from what I understand. So fucking hell, thank God it's about time he got bail.
Yeah, I'm super excited. And that's got to be the other side of things, right? Is like, it's got to be so much easier to build a defense, to actually, like, you know, defend your name, to stop yourself from, you know, like, he still is going to have to stand trial, you know, for his crimes. This is just bail. Like, it's in the United States, if you're, you know, you're arrested, you need to post like some money to say that you're going to come back to court. But this is, he's not out of this by any stretch of the imagination. But good on him for being able to work with his lawyers outside of a prison cell.
Yeah, yeah, and it's not just that. Christmas is around the corner. Unless you say, God forbid, that it doesn't go his way and he has to serve some more time. Listen, he just gets to spend some time with his kids. Christmas is coming up. You know what I mean? That's the most important thing. I reposted the story and I put about time or something like that on Twitter. And people were coming up, what do you mean about time? He shot an innocent man. And it's like, yeah, but the guy sexually assaulted his son many, many times. And I think the judge hit the nail on the head. You know, temporary insanity would be one defense. You know, a crime of passion might be another. But anyway, we'll get back into some more lighthearted shenanigans. Well done to Kane and all of his family. Let me have a look. Well, we talked about the bantamweight division. So we'll talk about this. Number 7, break it down. Yuri Prochazka getting hassled. Prochazka's getting hassled by USADA.
He's getting pro-level hassled, actually, because USADA is coming to his home, he says, at 6 in the morning every other day to test him. Now, I mean, that seems like hyperbole, but Aaron Bronster from TSN reported that...
Bronstetter,
I'm so sorry. I do enjoy his work. He reported that Yuri was tested 24 times within a calendar month. So that would be even more than once every other day.
That's wild. That is insane. That is, he's a very patient man. He's a very patient man because, I mean, we've seen Anthony get tested on here. I've been tested a bunch. It's a long, lengthy process. It's not a quick 5 minutes pissing this cup and off they go. It takes a couple of hours, the whole thing, every other day, or even 24 days in a month. That's almost every day. Showing up at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. I tell you what, I would have lost my shit. I would have been on the phone saying, hold on a minute. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, how many days of that? Like, do you make it for a full week of them waking up every other day? Or is it like on day three, you're like, I'm fighting every one of you?
No way. I mean, I never had anything like that. Never, ever, I guess, because they talk about the smell test and the vision test. I never looked like I was on juice, and, you know, I never had any kind of rumblings like that. I don't think Yuri Prohaska is necessarily a candidate, but I guess because he's a champion, you know, they want to keep an eye on him. And I applaud you, Sarda. I do. I think it's a great thing, but that's just a little bit extreme. It's not a little bit extreme. That's a lot extreme. But you sort of do a great thing. They do, but still, anyway. What else, Hamilton? What's the big story in MMA?
The big story?
The big
not
story.
Not in MMA, in combat sports.
Oh, don't say it.
I mean, it's got 5 million views on Twitter in under a day. It is probably the biggest story in combat sports right
What's
now,
this?
Unfortunately. Jake Paul and Andrew Tate. They had a face-off. They said negotiations are happening. It's big news.
Is it really big news? I mean, Andrew Tate, we know he's this social media, well, not a sensation because he's barred off social media, but that's kind of made his stardom, if you will, even bigger. And he used to be a Thai boxer. I don't know how good his Thai boxer. Look up his Thai boxing record if you can, you know.
He did win titles. I'll look up his record right now.
Yeah, but listen, there's titles and there's schmeitels. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I know people that are fucking had one fight and the British champion, and there were seven people there, and it was on a basketball court. Do you know what I mean? And you got given a fucking $299 trophy. That doesn't make you a world class kickboxer. Fighting in certain leagues, some of the best promotions, taking on some of the finest Thai boxing talent that they have in the United Kingdom, bro. That would make you a good legitimate kickboxer. So it's hard to know, you know. Jake Paul, once again, all right, granted, Andrew Tate's, I don't know how old he is, maybe look that up as well, but he looks a little bit younger. At least he's about his size.
So 35. He has 76 wins, 9 losses, 23 knockouts.
76 wins?
Yes.
All right, so he's had a lot of fights then. But again, Thai boxing fights, punches, kicks, knees, elbows, no knees, no kicks, no elbows. Do you know what I mean? It's like...
No, it was kickboxing.
Oh, so right, kickboxing.
Punches and kicks.
No, right, punches and kicks, same thing. No kicks. Fucking undermine me, Brian. When is he going to fight a boxer? That's, you know, and what do you think? Do you think this will be a huge... Do you think that Andrew Tate sells pay-per-views to compete in a boxing match?
I do. Okay, and here's why, right? I think this is actually brilliant by Jake, because this is the one person who everyone can kind of agree. It's like Andrew Tate is clearly playing the heel in life, right? And he does have his supporters. He has his vocal minority or silent majority, whatever you want to call it, right? He has his fans on Twitter who don't have a place to support him. They don't have an outlet to go see him for his interviews, for anything that he's doing. I do feel like putting this kind of a spotlight on this person, doing media with this person, doing press conferences, giving access to his wide fan base that he doesn't have right now, will do numbers for this fight.
Wow.
Yeah, that's true. But he's also it's not that he's persona non grata. He's on like news shows. He's been on Piers Morgan like 3 times in the past month. Like, he has plenty of outlet, even though he doesn't have his social media anymore. In fact, part of the tuition to his thing is that his students, air quotes, are have to post his clips in social media. So he doesn't need social media. Everybody else does.
Kind of rules.
Brian cut himself off again. He did. Yeah.
Did I cut myself off? Because I finished speaking and then I pressed the button and I don't know why.
Right, Hamilton, that was a little stream, wasn't it?
Yeah, I heard
Weird.
It.
Brian, hold on, Brian, come back on. Is everything all right in the McKay household? Is everything all right? We're concerned about you today.
Yeah, I had spilled my coffee again today. I'm having a morning. Yeah. I'm doing it right now. I cleaned it up.
All right. Okay. Well, we're just checking in on you guys. Send you love and well wishes to Brian. All right, this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listen, I talk about these a lot. They have supported this show for a lot, and they are supporting you if you're going through something in your mind, in your life. Listen, we've all got problems. speaking to somebody, sharing that problem. They all say a problem shared is a problem halved. You need to speak to a professional if you're having extreme anxiety. Maybe you've got depression, you've got anger problems, whatever it is, speaking to a professional. Maybe you're mourning the loss of a loved one. Who knows what it is? Speaking to a professional will help, and that is a fact. And that is what BetterHelp offers. Professional counseling done securely online. So if you feel that there's something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from reaching your goals, definitely check out BetterHelp. Whatever you're dealing with, they have a wide range of counselors available for you. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. Once you sign up, they assign you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can communicate them via your phone in under 48 hours. As I say, it's via your phone, so you haven't got to drive to the other side of town. You haven't got to park up. You haven't got to meet people. You haven't got to take a full day. You can just do it on your phone. And guess what? If you don't like that person, you can change therapists very, very quickly and easy. So listen, you know, join the millions of people that have taken care of their mental health, okay? If you have something holding you back, deal with it. Be honest with yourself. Take that first step. Right now, go to betterhelp.com/believe. Join the over 1 million people who have done this and taken charge of their mental health, okay? Go to betterhelp.com/believe. Betterhelp.com/believe. You're going to get 10% off your first month. One more time, betterhelp.com/believe. 10% off your first month. Harrington, number five, the head of a baker's union in Turkey, was arrested for claiming that only stupid societies eat bread. Explain. Okay.
So, not to get political, but I don't think Turkey's politics are really going to move the needle and get people up in arms. So, what happened was the head of a baker's...
to the Turkish crowd, but whatever, you know, we have a solid fan base in Istanbul, but whatever, you know.
I'm not questioning that, but I think they would like a bit of a, you know, a freedom of information, if you will, right? So the head of the baker's union came out and he said, you can tell empirically by science, right, that this is a stupid nation based on the amount of bread that people ate, right? People eat per day. In countries like Sweden and Norway, they eat 25 grams of bread a day. In places like Turkey, it's 180 grams of bread per day. And that's why they keep electing stupid officials like our current president.
Well, I mean, he's kind of got a point, to be honest, because in this modern day and age, everybody knows that, like, if you're trying to stay, I mean, listen, my favorite thing on planet Earth is a good sandwich. Can't be a good sandwich. Oh my God. You know, but you got to stay away from the carbs. Do you know what I mean? Everyone knows that the carbs to a certain degree are the enemy. Certainly carbs late at night, carbs in beer, carbs in wine, carbs in bread, white bread. Delicious. Worst thing for you. But it is an old school mentality, because my mom, you know, she was like trying to, when I was training for a fight or whatever, she wanted to make me something healthy. So I'll make you a nice sandwich maker. I'm like, Mom, a sandwich is the last thing I need. Said, no, sandwiches are good for you. Going to give you a lot of energy, a lot of strength, you know. This guy's potentially got a point. How much bread do you eat, Harrington?
I mean, I eat a tremendous amount of bread, especially like now my girl's pregnant. It's a lot of like, we're doing bagels in the morning, English muffins. When's the last time you had an English muffin?
Quite recently, to be quite honest, yeah. And a bagel. Saturday morning, we had bagels, toasted, lots of butter, melted cheese on. Mwah. Oh, my God, so good. With a nice coffee in the morning.
There's nothing like it.
Yeah, but you eat a lot of bread. So this guy's correct. Stupid people eat the bread. Brian, how much bread do you eat or consume?
Not much, to be honest. I don't eat a lot of carbs in general. I tend to eat a lot of grilled chicken. And broccoli these days.
Oh, so healthy.
Like,
so
I love just what I eat.
And you know, and Brian is smart. So maybe this guy's onto something. People were saying in the comment section, Brian, they were concerned because, not concerned, they were shocked because you went larger for a bit and then you came back down. So you got slimmer. So what was going on?
I think it was just I hadn't shaved for a while and it made my face way more round.
All right.
And then I shaved and then I look fine again. So
we're glad to hear that you're happy. All right, Harrington, throw number two at me. Israel Adesanya might be stepping into a movie career soon.
Well, actually, Israel Adesanya, this I thought was interesting. He came out and said he was offered four different movie roles, including Creed 3, while he was training for the Alex Pereira fight, had to turn it down, right? Said that, you know, absolutely not. No distractions. I'm 100% laser focused. So just the idea that these movie roles are coming in and he's that much more focused on training.
Well, listen, come on. A guy like Izzy is going to get movie roles. That's for damn sure. If I can get one with this face, then I'm sure Izzy can. He's the champion of the world. He's a global sensation. You know, he's good looking. You know, he's a very good looking guy. He's tall. He's slim. He's got flashy style when it comes to kicks, flashy style in general, super charismatic. And he's very intelligent as well. So there's no, yeah, that doesn't surprise me whatsoever, but he's doing the right thing. I mean, not everyone can go and shoot a movie with Vin Diesel and then knock out the world champion 2 weeks later. You know what I mean? Some people have to stay focused to their art, but still look forward to seeing him in something soon.
I was going to say, as somebody who did it, right, you were the champion of the world, and now you're an actor, you're in a major motion picture with this new Marvel movie. How would you recommend, like, if you could go back and do it again, right, would you have tried to secure more roles on the acting side while you were still fighting, or do you think it was better for your career to focus on fighting and win the title and get notoriety that way?
Yeah, no, that's a tough question, actually. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what the answer is. Like, right now, booking roles is hard with my UFC commitments. Do you know what I mean? I was very, very lucky they allowed me, you know, to go away for a while. Fortunately, there were some shows in the UK and in France. So I was able to just fly to Paris and that was close by. Then they let me off for a couple of months. You know what I mean? Because I just got an offer this week, actually, to shoot a movie in February. And I said, I can't do it. I said, I'm going to be in Korea. I'm going to be in Perth. I said, I've got UFC commitments. I said, they just let me off for a while. Do you know what I mean? So I'm going to have to sadly turn it down, but thank you very much. Hopefully down the line we can do something. But when you're fighting, I mean, I did it. You got to try and open, I always say it, you can open doors while you can, make hay while the sun shines, exploit who you are and where you are while you can, you know, because being the champ doesn't last forever. There's a chance that Izzy isn't the champion after this weekend. I mean, if Izzy does lose his belt this weekend, just to steer back to the fights, he'll probably end up becoming the champion again because styles make fights. Somebody like Robert Whittaker might come in and beat Pereira, and then Izzy's just like, boom, well, there's my key back. What do you think? We haven't asked you. Who do you think wins this weekend?
I mean, this is such a tough one because everything in me says pick against Izzy every time, and I've been proven wrong, and we just had this with Oliveira. So I think it is a situation where you have to double down. This is, you know, every single... I mean, Alex Pereira made his UFC debut a year ago. Now he's fighting for the title. Like, we saw it with Yuri, and Yuri was able to win the title. But Izzy is not 40-something-year-old Glover, right? If we're being honest. And I'm not trying to disrespect Glover Teixeira in any way, shape, or form, right? But you would see that as somebody who came over as a champion in another organization, could put together a streak to get himself challenging for a title in a very short window. Pereira, at just 7 fights in MMA, I don't see it against somebody who we're actively considering the among the pound for pound greats right now.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a great fight. I'm very, very excited for the entire fight card, to be honest. I'll be sat at home watching that one. And right, that's the show. Because I just looked at my phone. Oh my God, I've got so many notifications. I'm supposed to be doing something shortly. I'm like, oh my God. So we're going to go to questions. If you got a question, send it in, bympod@gmail.com. Keep them coming, please. Keep them funny, keep them tasty, but keep them respectful. Harrington.
If you are enjoying the show on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure that you're subscribed to the show. Leave a 5-star rating and a positive review. It really helps us out. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to the channel. You hit that notification bell to find out whenever a new episode drops. And if you're watching live, click that little like button. It really helps us out. Also, if you want to catch over 400 episodes you can't find anywhere else, head to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM and get a 7-day free trial. Check out over 20 great shows on the network.
All right, Brian. If you can deliver this one smoothly without like cutting yourself off and all the rest of it, you know what I mean?
Jesus, Christmas. All right, guys. Well, the first one we have here is from John Howard. We sent in a wordy question the last time. This one's a little bit more concise.
All right, John.
Hey, guys. Sorry for the long-winded question last time, but thank you very much for the advice and really taking the time to address everything I asked about. I did have another question, though, that Harrington brought up, and that was the cap on reality that Cody Garbrandt talked about, and that's what I'm mostly afraid of, is age getting to me before I get to the UFC. Because I'm 27 now, and as you said, Bisping, it's a slow rise to the top. And even though I've been training since I was 8, I just started competing, so am I too old to truly start an MMA career from rock bottom and have it be fruitful? Thank you. Not trying to take too much time. Have a good one.
All right, thanks for the question. I always say 27, and I'm just gonna say this one more time. We've answered this question in many different forms 1,000 times. Okay, right. If you want to do it, go for it. You're 27. You're not an old man. You're still a young man. You're still in the prime of your goddamn life. You even say you've done martial arts most of his life, right? So you're a step ahead of a lot of people. And 27, mate, what? So if you applied yourself 5 years, 4 years, you could be in the UFC. You know, if you've already done martial arts, you do 2 years of hardcore training, jiu-jitsu, wrestling, everything that you need to do. Then you start having some lower level fights. You know, then you have some pro level fights. 3-4 years, man. If you are cut from that cloth, if you have the ability, you could do it. And then you'd be 31, 32. And you could have a few years in the UFC. Who knows? Maybe you come the UFC champion of the goddamn world. But if you want to do it, do it. If you don't, fuck off.
I can speak to that. I quit my job as a contractor. I can speak to this. I quit my job as a contractor and started working in podcasting at 27.
Boom.
That's what I always wanted to do. I always wanted to work in broadcasting more than anything in my life. I did it at 27. It was absolutely terrifying. Didn't have a kid on the way at the time, so that does add something to it. But 27 is literally, you're a baby. You are a baby. Exactly. You don't realize it yet.
Exactly. I would kill to be 27 again. But yeah, listen, all the best, mate. Good luck with you. 27, the world is your oyster in whatever you want to do. Any 27-year-olds out there, you're a child. Like Callum's almost 22. You know what I mean? It's mental, you know, and he's a child. And yeah, granted, 27 is 5 years older than that, but still, you're 27, man. You're in your mid-20s. You've still got your entire life to live. You can do whatever you want. Brian, what else we got, buddy?
All right, we got another question here. This one is from Mr. Morgan Gundry.
You guys, love the podcast. Bisping, you're an absolute godsend. Anthony Smith, you're one of my favorite fighters to watch. Love you, man. Harrington, congratulations on the kid. Hopefully he doesn't grow up to be a dick like you. Nah, I'm only kidding. Brian, you're a good man. My question is I've got a white collar boxing match this weekend on Saturday, and my opponent is bigger, fitter, and a slightly longer reach. I was wondering if you have any advice. I've actually messaged Arnold Allen, and he come back and just said, just do your damage on the inside when you attack and just stay on the outside for rest. Wondered if you guys have any, tips and advice you can give me. Love the show. Hope you all have a great day. Cheers, guys.
So you're fighting a bigger, fitter, longer, more technical, battle-tested, proven. He has one of the best chins in all of white-collar boxing. Trained by Roy Jones Jr. and Floyd Mayweather. They took him under his wing. And he has all the... And his uncle was Muhammad Ali. Right. Don't fight him.
Bring a gun, dude.
You're going to get your ass kicked. No. It sounds like Arnold gave you good advice there. The problem is with him being fitter. Being fitter is... It's a massive advantage to have, mate. So I don't know how long you got. He said this weekend, did he?
He said it's Saturday, yeah.
We'll run between now and Saturday. Well, it's going to come out Thursday night. I don't know. Do some sprints on the treadmill tomorrow night. Don't zap your legs too much, though. Get on the inside's good. You need to be on the inside. And he's right. If you want to rest, you either want to be all the way in where you're in the pocket to mitigate that length. And as Arnold said, all the way out, because if you've got all the way out where he can't reach you, you can dance around a little bit, use your footwork to get a few breaths in. But all the best, mate, with that one. Do we have a real question, Brian? Like a real, like, you know what I mean? Not like, oh, the believers want us to talk about them. Like a question of philosophy. You know,
we have a question about things happening. I got a question here from Keith, he has a question about some events.
What's up, guys? It's your boy Keith. I'm out here in Tampa, Florida. currently we have a tropical storm sitting over top of us. And about a month and a half ago, we had Hurricane Ian come through and absolutely fucking smash us. Just so happens, a week before that, I was working a second job, and while I was working, my truck was stolen. It was recovered, luckily, about 4 days later with minimal damage, and they arrested the little shitheads who stole it. But my question is, it's actually a two-part question. Have you guys ever been through a natural disaster, and or have you ever had your vehicle stolen? Thanks, guys, and I love the podcast. See you.
Well, thank you very much for the question, and sorry to hear about that. I mean, because, you know, all those people down there, the hurricanes and shit, I can only imagine. I mean, I'll answer, no, I haven't. Never been through a natural disaster, and I can only imagine. Every year you see it all the time, don't you? And I think these poor people, you know, they just get battered. And I'm sure it's different towns, but it seems like certain places get it bad every single fucking year. Louisiana, New Orleans down there, certain parts of Florida. Fucking hell, mate. What about you, Harrington?
I mean, the closest I've ever come, there was like two hurricanes back to back that made landfall in New York, and neither one was really, I didn't lose power for either of them. So yeah. It's like, I don't have that experience of you know, actually living in terror. Of a natural disaster. But have you never had a vehicle stolen ever?
Well, no, I've never had my car stolen. No, but in terms of like, because obviously most of my life I lived in England, and we get pretty timid weather. You know, it's shit weather, but it's timid. You know what I mean? There's nothing extreme about British weather. It gets cold in the winter, yes, but it doesn't get that cold. Right. You might get a bit of sun in the summer, but it doesn't get that hot and not for that long. Although last year we had record temperatures, but you know, you get a little bit of sun for a little bit. Most of the time you get drizzle, you get rain. Do you know what I mean?
What about the wildfires in California, though? Has that ever come close to you? Because that's pretty natural disaster.
Well, yeah. When I was training for George St. Pierre, I've told the story. I finished training, looked at my phone, and I had about 20 missed calls of Rebecca because we were been forced to evacuate. I'm forced to evacuate because the fires were closing in. But I guess I forgot about that one. Well done. What was his next question?
The vehicle.
You get earthquakes by you?
We get earthquakes, Brian, yeah. But they're very, they're just, you know, like the light fits and all shake or something. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and it lasts about 2 seconds. And they're pretty cool. I like them.
We've had two tiny ones in New York since I've been alive. And when I was living in California, I was sleeping on the couch one time and I thought somebody backed into backed their truck into the house. And that was it. It was just like bong. And I was like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah, then, to be honest, we haven't had one for a while, but we used to get them, you know, I don't know, several a year, little murmurs, tremors, whatever the bloody hell you call them. What was the next part of his question? Oh, car stolen. Never had a car stolen. I'm a record stolen. Told that story many times when I forced a guy to open up his car boot and there was a guy tied up. He's fucking gagged and shit in the boot of his car.
I thought you were talking about Donald Cerrone for a second.
What do you mean?
Just for most fights in the UFC.
What do you mean?
Your record. You said I had my record stolen.
Oh, sorry. No, I'm talking about when it was a DJ. I'm a record stolen. No, car stolen. I came out of a nightclub once. I think I've told this story. I came out of a nightclub and I was DJing and there was this little shit on the car park and he was trying to fucking break into people's cars. He had like a knife and something like I don't know what it was. He had some kind of tool, screwdriver or something, trying to like get into people's cars and stuff. And we saw him, we were talking to him and he's like, yeah, man. Yeah. Robbing cars and that. I said, right. So you're a thief, are you? He goes, yeah, you might call me a thief, man, but I'm making like a few grand every week. I went, right. And this was like a week after my records had been stolen. So I was like, I had it in for thieves. And this guy was a real scumbag. And he was fucking breaking into cars. He's like, if you can give me an arm, we can split it and whatnot.
He tried to bring you in as a partner?
Yeah. I'm like, right, Pete, start the car. So I walk up to him like, you're a thieving little cunt. Yeah? Yeah. Anyway. Give him a cheeky little fucking headbutt. You got to do it. You got to do it. Do you know what I mean? Give him a little headbutt. No, just a little tap. You know, he was fine. He hit the floor. I'm like, stop stealing people's shit, okay? Think of me as Batman, and you're the Joker, and you're getting your ass kicked right now. I'm doing good. I'm defending Gotham City. Right.
Are you going to tell him about how the city stole your car, Mike?
Oh, Jesus. I forgot about that. Yeah. So the city of New York has my car.
Car?
I had a ton of
tickets. Not anymore, for sure.
Yeah, no, that's been sold. But that's the only time my car has ever been stolen, is I had a bunch of unpaid parking tickets. And this is literally when I was homeless. So it was like, I was using it as a storage locker on the street, essentially. And one day,
it was a
beautiful Beamer.
Was it really? Was it a decent BMW?
It was.
Benz.
Oh, it was a Benz.
If you were homeless, uh-huh. If you were homeless, I wouldn't use that as a place to store your things. I would use that as a mobile home, as somewhere to sleep, perhaps, on the back seat.
I mean, dude, the amount of times that it had the boot put on it, it was bad, dude. Things got bad.
Yeah.
We were walking down the street, and he goes, oh, my car was parked there yesterday. And it was like, well, where is it today?
She's gone. All right, boys and girls. Well, that's that. Monday, we got two great guests next week. We have Darren Till. Who else do we have? I was going to say Henry Cejudo, but Henry came on today. But we definitely got Darren Till. Darren is out in Thailand right now. He's got his big fight, UFC 282. We've got 281 this weekend. So going to be lots and lots and lots of things to talk about Monday morning. So come back, enjoy the show. Thank you all for, without new believers, this show would be nothing. We know you're all very loyal, avid listeners of the show. So we thank you all. We appreciate you all. Anyone listening to this, if you haven't subscribed and ring the bell, then what the fuck are you doing? Yeah? And on that note, enjoy your weekends. Harrington, you're the man. Thank you, Brian. We'll be back with another show on Monday.